CTV.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. If you are listening to my voice, then it is Friday morning, May 10th. If you're not listening to my voice, I don't know what to tell you. Nothing I tell you will matter because you're not listening. So I will just say this. As I'm recording this, it is Thursday. As you are watching this on Friday morning, I am en route, that's French, to Richmond, Virginia. I'm speaking Saturday at a conference at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel. So this is a last minute call. Get to Richmond by Saturday at 9:30 a.m. Come in or come early. Everybody tell you come early, come at 9. I'm going to start talking at 9:30. I'm the only speaker. In fact, I'm speaking, I think, seven times. I mean, they must think I'm superhuman or something. I don't know who scheduled me for seven talks. Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, seven talks. I got them all figured out. I'm going to start microcosmically, and I'm going to expand the viewpoint and look at the entire universe. And we originally announced that the conference would end at 5:30 on Saturday, or 5 o'clock. Well, there's going to be a bonus conference after dinner. Bonus conference. Yes, you're going to get your money's worth here at 7 o'clock. We might have another hour. For those who can stay longer, I'm going to give a talk called God is Love. That's right. This is the ultimate thank God is God is love. That's the ultimate thank God. I'm going to tell you some of my fears in my weaker moments. I always overcome them, but I do have weak moments occasionally. I'll discuss that with you Saturday at the bonus conference in Richmond, Virginia. There's going to be a phone number appear on the screen as I'm speaking. That is the phone number of James Huff. Call him, text him, because we're going to have an informal meet and greet, a little get together on Friday evening. It's not the official conference. That doesn't start until Saturday. But call, text this number. It's James Huff. Say, where is the Friday get together? It might be at my hotel lobby, the Sheraton. By the way, these people organizing this conference, they're giving me the Joel Osteen treatment. I'm staying at the Sheraton Four Points. Very nice hotel. I have to admit, I deserve it. So thank you for the generosity. Because I don't know, as I'm speaking to you, I don't know where this informal gathering is going to be. So text James Huff. Now, this video is going to be short because I got seven talks on Saturday. So I have a bunch of preparation to do. I've only done this many talks one time, and that was in Newport News, Virginia, back in 96. I gave 9 talks. It was a three-day conference. Once again, I was the only speaker. 9 talks. I was tired. I was tired afterwards. But listen, I was running one day, and I was thinking again about Adam and Christ. And a thought occurred to me about Adam and Christ that never occurred to me before. I always compare these two because Paul compares these two, because as I have said, and as I'm going to say again at the conference in Richmond, that, you know, all humanity comes down to two individuals. But I never saw this angle. Listen to this. This is an accident versus a purpose. Let me repeat that. This is an accident. The Adam end of this is like a trip. It's a fall. That's why I call it an accident. It's not, of course, absolutely an accident. And even relatively, Eve willingly disobeyed God. So it's not technically an accident, but I'm calling it an accident in the sense that these two had no concept of what they were doing. For all they knew, have you ever thought of this? Have you ever thought of this? For all Adam and Eve knew, there would never be any other human beings on the planet. Why would they think any different? For all they knew, the whole earth existed for them, and they would be the only ones. They didn't know that ka-chinka, chinka, chinka, when they started doing the dance, they didn't know that was going to produce children. Eve started getting a little plump in the midsection. What's this? Why? It's starting to rebel inside of me. Adam, put your hand here. I believe it's kicking. Oh, never seen that before. What is that? Well, God said that somehow Eve would, her offspring would, you know, crush the serpent's head. That would be Christ. But those two were the most innocent beings who ever lived. And they had no idea that what they had done would affect billions and billions of people and would become the template for salvation. That it would be the sin of all sins and it would lead to the crucifixion of God's Son. It would bring billions and billions of people, more people than McDonald's has sold hamburgers, into sin and death. By the way, eating McDonald's hamburgers leads to sin and death. So they tripped into it. Now, I want you to compare that to the most intelligent man who ever lived, the most savvy man who ever lived, the most astute and aware man who ever lived, and the most purposeful man who ever lived, Jesus Christ. You see, he knew the history of Adam. He knew how humanity had come into being. But Adam had no idea that Jesus Christ would ever come into being or that any other person would come into being. So how is it possible that the result of a trip, the result of an accident, the result of a whoops, was that bad what we did? God, we like ate of that tree. I mean, you told us not to, but was that bad? I mean, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? But it was seriously, they had no idea what was going to happen. Some would tell us that that is more consequential, more powerful, more all-encompassing than the purpose of an intelligent being who knows what he is setting out to do, investing his life in it, following his Father's will. God is pretty much up to speed on everything that's going on, I would say. Following his Father's will to the T with the intention. This is an intention versus a trip, a purpose versus an accident. With the intention being to undo what the first Adam did. The first Adam fell down when boom. The last Adam girded up his loins, set his face like flint, and went to Jerusalem to heal it, to cure it, to blow it up, and to take it to the next level. He did it intelligently. It must, and it does, overarchingly undo the damage that the trip man did, and the trip woman, the whoops people. They're the whoops people. Jesus Christ is 6 hours on the cross, man. They're the whoops people. Whoops, was that bad? Jesus Christ, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. That is not as strong as the whoops. Not as strong as was that bad? There is no possible way. Paul, indeed, in Romans chapter 5, confirms what I'm telling you, only much more elegantly. And I'll just read the first part of that, because it answers everything. Hardly anybody knows this. Romans 5:15. Not as the offense, thus also the grace. Yes, the tripping was an offense. Yes. But it was done so ignorantly, not understanding the consequences. That's why Paul says, not as the offense, thus also the grace. Now, you can hardly compare that oops moment to the grace of God as demonstrated in sending his own son to die for the sins of everyone who came under the condemnation of the oops dude, Adam, okay? And his trippy wife. Yeah, the oops dude and his trippy wife. No idea what they were doing. Airheads. Completely. We can't blame them for that. Not as the offense, thus also the grace. Yes, and not as through one act of sinning is the gratuity. See, one act. Paul's minimizing it here. It's just one act. Yeah, I mean, it was very consequential. That's only one act. I mean, he has a point. I see what he's saying. Not as through one act. People might say, well, yeah, but what an act. Yeah, but you can't compare it to... You can't compare it to the gratuity. It was one act of sinning versus the gratuity. Verse 18, consequently then, as it was through one offense for all humanity for condemnation, thus also it is through one just award. That should read righteous act. Just award's terrible translation in the Concordant version. Doesn't even make sense. For all mankind for life's justifying. For even as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were constituted sinners, thus also through the obedience of one, the many shall be constituted just. It's the same many. Paul doubles down on this in 1 Corinthians 15:22. Even as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class. Yeah. You want to compare the acts of a man who had no idea what he was doing to the acts of a man who knew exactly what he was doing, who looked at the situation, gauged it, assessed it, and said, yep, I got what it takes to do this. I get it all from my Father. I'm coming to earth to die, to do a complete work. That is a man with a purpose. And it has weight, and it has consequence, and it weighs a hell of a lot more than that act of innocence and ignorance in Eden. And how dare anyone say that the Eden act outweighs the purposeful act of the Son of God? It does not. And the purposeful act of the Son of God will result in the justification of every single human being that has ever come into existence and the reconciliation of the universe to God.